That's a long way away. Can I come down closer to you guys? That's much better. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Tim. Well, a bit of frivolity, but of course, it tells us something very important, that we all crave satisfaction in life. Mick Jagger, who sang those famous words, and we had them beautifully sung for us, "I can't get no satisfaction." It's a common experience in our advanced society. We are all looking for satisfaction in life. And I just think I've brought my wrong notes, but hey, I'm not going to get much satisfaction. But there you go. U2, Bono, sings what is an anthem for many in our society. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. We have so much in our society today, more than any other era, but people are not happy. What is it that's going to bring you satisfaction? Getting the marks you want? Selected for the team that you want? Getting to go out with that good-looking girl that you see on the train? Yeah. Keep on hoping, guys, maybe one day. Landing that job that you want, what is it that's going to bring you satisfaction? Yes, we are all looking for satisfaction in one way or another, but the Bible tells us, and this is serious, that there is no satisfaction in life without Jesus. In John chapter 6, he makes the incredible claim in verse 35. It'd be good to have your Bibles open. It's on page 1056 in those brown pew Bibles. You can follow it, because it's an incredible claim where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." In other words, he who comes to me will be satisfied. He who comes to me will find what they are looking for. Now, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus had performed a miracle. It's a famous one, the feeding of the 5,000. And after that, they wanted to come and make Jesus king. They wanted him to overtake the Romans for them. But his mission was not a political one, so he withdrew. And in John's gospel, the miracles are signs which point beyond themselves. In the miracle, Jesus provided bread. But here we are told that he is bread. Bread was the staple diet. It was what brought physical satisfaction. But here Jesus says to the crowds, not, "I can lead you to satisfaction." Not, "I'll tell you how you can find what you're looking for." But, "I am the one who will bring satisfaction. I am the one who will quench your spiritual hunger and thirst." And this happens by coming to Jesus and believing in him. Verse 28, the crowd asked, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" They, like so many, see things in terms of what we must do. What religious things should I do? What do I have to do to kind of get right with God? But Jesus says, "No, no, no, you've got it all wrong. It's not about our actions, what we do, but it's about our belief, what we believe in." And verse 29, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." If you want true life, if you want satisfaction in life, if you want to look back and to be able to truly say, "I have had a successful life," you must believe in the one God has sent. You must believe in Jesus, the Christ. Now, there's something very important to notice here. Jesus doesn't say, "I am one of the breads of life, one of the things that will satisfy." No, "I and I only am the bread of life." Now, it's not like walking into Baker's Delight with many varieties, the white, the brown, the kibble, the sourdough, the damper. You take your pick. No, it's not like walking around the Body, Mind, Spirit Festival where you can take your pick. Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, crystals, worship of self. Take your pick. Any religion you like. No, there is only one loaf on the shelf, so to speak. And that is what our world finds so offensive. One way only. At universities, the Christian groups often get together and put on missions to try and convince others to become Christians. And in my day, which was a while ago now, and there was a furor created by a particular slogan advertising one of these missions. It was in two parts. The first part no one objected to. No Christ, no life. Spelt K-N-O-W. If you know Christ, you will know life. And people were kind of happy with that. Well, yeah, if that works for you and you find meaning and purpose through Jesus, that's okay. But then they read what was underneath. No Christ, spelt N-O, no life. That if you don't know Christ, you don't have life. And people, they did not like that at all. The arrogance, the presumption to say that there is only one way to find meaning, satisfaction and purpose. But that is what the Bible says. True life, true satisfaction is found in believing in him and no other. Satisfaction is to be found in a person. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. Well, Jesus is challenged to provide manna from heaven like Moses had done before him. Remember the time of Moses? I'd go out in the morning, they were wandering in the desert, and this manna, this bread-like stuff would be on the ground, and he'd provide it for them. 6 days of the week, seventh, the sixth day they'd get double, and you know what it's all about. But look at verse 30. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Manna in the desert was a great provision from God. It helped sustain life. But Jesus does more than just sustain life, even if it is a miracle like feeding the 5,000. So look at verses 32 and 33. He says, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. See, he gives life to the world. The manna sustained life, but Jesus is life. Verse 48, he who believes has everlasting life. You see, if you're looking for satisfaction anywhere else, you're not going to find it. You might think you found it, but you haven't, according to the Bible. Which brings us to life's direction. If satisfaction in life is to be found in Jesus Christ and no other, the question is raised, what should I do with my life? Now, many of you here are thinking that. What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do when I leave school? What am I going to do when I leave home? That's a good one. What job am I going to do? Who am I going to marry? All those big life questions. What are you going to do with your life? Well, the first thing to say is that we can spend our life in worthless pursuits. Have a look at verse 27. It says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. We could put it another way. Do not put your time into something which is a waste of time. But put your efforts into something which is going to last forever. Forever. Do not get caught up in things that at the end of the day are a waste. You see, we can work for that which spoils. Indeed, many of our efforts goes into that which spoils. You can put all your effort into getting that mark that you want for the HSC. You might get into medicine or law. Or if you're really good, you might get into the arts faculty. Don't laugh. When I went to university, I did an arts degree, but it was a bit off-putting because you'd go into the loo and then on the side there would be the toilet paper and some smart aleck had written above it, arts degrees, please take one or two or three. But I could handle all those sorts of jokes. But you can get the degree that you want. But what will it matter 1,000 years from now? As people are walking through the cemetery, do you think they want to know, oh, that guy was a doctor, or he was a lawyer, or, you know, he had a good job, or he left in year 10? Do you think it matters? You can work your butt off to get the promotion, only to be discarded by someone else, someone younger and with supposedly better ideas than yours. You can work 12-hour days and 7-day weeks to get the money to buy your dream home. But will that count for much when your block of land has shrunk severely and your plot of land is only 6 feet by 3? See, any life that doesn't endure into eternity is a wasted life, because death just makes a mockery of everything. We can spend our life in worthless pursuits, which brings me to my next point. Spend your life in an enduring pursuit. Spend your life in something that will last into eternity. Verse 27 again. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. The starting point for this is found in verses 28 and 29. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Do you believe in the one that God sent? Do you believe in Jesus? If you haven't placed your faith and trust in Jesus, then that is what is required of you. It's quite simple, really. Believe in him, and you will last into eternity. Death will not be a full stop, but only a comma, and your life will carry on. But many of you are Christians, and praise the Lord for that. And if you are, well, then there's more. Work for that which will last into eternity. In the light of eternity, what's more important, that you topped your year in the HSC because you put the rest of your life on hold, including your Christian life? Or that you offered to help with the Sunday school on Sunday morning so that others can come to hear of the Lord Jesus? Or what's more important, that you managed to get that prestigious job that rakes in the big bucks, or that you were prepared to give that up, to go and study at a Bible college so that others can hear about Jesus? What's more important, that you sink all your spare cash into getting that car that you always wanted, or that you give away significant amounts of your money so that others can go to Africa or Spain or Lightning Ridge, or wherever, so that others can hear about Jesus? Yes, spend your life in pursuits that will last. In the words of a famous book written many years ago now, that famous, but many of you probably haven't heard of it, but a guy called J.B. Phillips, give up your small ambitions. Get some grand ambitions that have to do with God and his purposes. His purposes to bring eternal life to our hungry and thirsty world. And can I challenge the younger folk here this evening? You see, one of the things that I would love us as a church to be marked by as I come along here and as I'm new amongst you, is that we be a sending church, that we send out others into full-time Christian ministry. And I know that's happened in the past. But what would really excite me is that as I look out and see you now, that 1, 2, 3, 5 years down the track, some of you are in China telling people about Jesus. Others of you are at Bible college training so that you can go and do what I'm doing, run a church. Now that would be a wonderful thing. So let me challenge you now, before you go running ahead with all those small ambitions. Let me challenge you. Have you thought about full-time training for mission work or work in a church, or even to go to Bible college for a year or two so you're better equipped to come back here and to help run the youth group or whatever it might be? There's an apprenticeship scheme where you can work in a church for a couple of days a week and get some training. It'd be fantastic to have an apprentice like that next year. Or to do Year 13, that some of you know about with youth works, like Jamie's involvement there. When I went to Bible college, there were people that had gone there that didn't get their degree like I did from the loo through the pulling the paper out. That they actually got the medical degree that counted for much more than that. But they'd given that up to go and study at a Bible college. And their parents thought they'd really flipped out. Medicine, it was laid out before them. They can help people cure their lives and get a decent house at the same time. But you know what? No matter how many lives they would save in medicine, if the people didn't know Jesus, in the end they would still die and go to a godless eternity. So to give up medicine wasn't a stupid decision really, because they were going and doing the even more important work to save people from eternal death. So those of you who are young, and even those who are not, what are you going to do with the life that God has given you? Well, life satisfaction. There is no satisfaction in life without Jesus. Life's direction. Don't waste your life pursuing small ambitions. And lastly, life's completion. If your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus, what is in store for you? Well, in this life, there may well be trouble. There will be persecution, Jesus tells us. But there will be the satisfaction of living life the way that it was meant to be lived, in a relationship with the one who satisfies our deepest longings. And at the end of life, what then? Well, nothing less than eternal life. Verse 27, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Notice it is something which is given to us. It is a gift. From verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. You go to him, he won't say, no, I don't want you. You've done too many bad things in your life. Or, you come from Asquith, that's no good. No, I will never drive away, no matter who you are, what you've done. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. If you believe in Jesus, don't doubt your salvation. Verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is God's promise to you if you believe in Jesus. But if you don't, you might be the doctor. You might be the lawyer. But at the end, there is nothing more waiting for you than an eternity without God. Well, let me conclude by telling you about two people. One is a woman who was written up in the February 98 edition of the Reader's Digest. She was 51 years of age, a year and a bit older than me, a youngster. When, along with her husband, who was 59, they took early retirement and moved to Punta Gorda, Florida, sounds like a nice place, where they cruised on a 30-foot trawler, played softball, and collected shells. The other is a woman called Corrie ten Boom, who lived in Holland during the time of the Second World War. There's one for the Dutch. Where's Nelly? Hey, well done. Who, along with her parents and her sister Betsy, hid Jews in their home to keep them away from the Nazis. Many Jews were saved because of her actions. The Nazis eventually discovered the safe house and her family were arrested, separated and put into Ravensbrück concentration camp. Corrie managed to smuggle a Bible into the camp. and she held Bible studies and prayer groups for the inmates. Her sister died in the concentration camp. Corrie was eventually released and opened a home in Holland where other victims of the war came for help and for peace and to hear the good news of Jesus. A tough life. In the eyes of the world, not successful at all. But you can read her story in the book The Hiding Place, and there was a movie made of it as well. But which of these two had a successful life? Which of those two would you rather be? Just imagine for a minute the first woman standing before Jesus on the great day of judgment. What would she say? Lord, look, see my shells? Imagine Corrie ten Boom. I don't know what she would say, but I know what Jesus would say to her. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy I have prepared for you. Yes, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Give up your small ambitions and follow Jesus wherever that might lead, whatever that might cost, but knowing that your work in the Lord will never, never be in vain. Amen. Now, I just want to ask you to just reflect on your own for a moment about your ambitions. And if you've got a pen and you've got something to write on, you could scribble it down or just remind yourself to do it when you get home. Do some of your goals need to change? Do your goals need to come more in line with God's goals? Are some of your ambitions too small and they need to be expanded? Just take a moment to reflect on that on your own now.